Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He is Derek Gary, and I am Lisa Nichols, here with you every Wednesday night. As always, we want you to be a part of the show, and you can do that by giving us a call at 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-9636. Of course, it's that time of the show. Did you hear the part where Derek and I quiz each other on all the other things that we haven't talked about in this week's news? Say one, two words, and you need to tell us what the story is about. As always, I will start. I am going to give you menstrual leave. Menstrual leave.
Fake news. I get a point for that. Yes, I do, because it's fake news.
No, it was a big story yesterday.
This is fake news. Really? Yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that takes it out of the realm of the health care bill. Wasn't yesterday like National Menstruation Day or some other?
No.
I saw rather a lot of menstruation coverage on the internet, and if I'm quite frank about it, being in possession of a penis, I don't typically read those stories, so you're going to have to enlighten me.
Well, Italy is going to become the first country with an official menstrual leave policy. So we hear all about the, you know, family death leaves and everything. Yeah, apparently now there is a menstrual leave. The proposed law was hailed by some local media outlets as a positive step to help working women who suffer from cramps. Yeah.
Molto bene.
I guess that's a thing. I would call it a sick day. I didn't know we needed actual
multiple time. Betty. Does this mean you get an extra?
I feel like every woman who suffers from serious PMS is screaming at me right now.
Yeah. No, hey, that's reasonable. I don't have a problem with it.
I take a couple ibuprofen, you suck it up and go. But I do understand some people suffer from very, very difficult problems with.
Yeah, some people have brutal cramps. Some people get like all hormonal and fine.
Yeah, it's just me every day.
Works for me.
I'm in more pain from working out today.
There are a lot of women's issues that I'm comfortable talking about and supportive of. But when we get into that topic, I'm just like, no. Check me out. Check me out. I'm somewhere else. You talk amongst yourselves. Big Bend.
I feel like I heard a story with this, or at least, can I get a clue?
I gave you one.
Big Bend?
Yeah.
That's my clue.
Yeah.
Can I get a little more for a half point?
No.
What is it?
Because that alone should be enough. That's the name of the new skyscraper that has been proposed for Billionaires Row in Manhattan. Because they have two parcels of land to deal with something in the middle, they're just going to build a giant N. It's a building that goes up, turns a loop, and then comes back down again. And it's going to be, if it's allowed, the longest building in the world.
How long?
Longer than the Burj Khalifa, which is the tallest building in the world.
Now, what area in Manhattan did you say?
Central Park, Billionaires Row, Fifth Avenue. Mm-hmm. So basically that stretch of Fifth Avenue right down outside of Central Park is where they want to put this thing up.
I mean, that area is already seeing so much construction.
This is another one of those skinny skyscrapers like that monstrosity that they've got in Midtown right now.
Mm-hmm.
The design renders of it, which are online, are appalling. This thing should never be allowed. Ever, under any circumstances. Not just because it's a stupid idea and it's atrocious, but really when you look at it, or at least when I look at it, you know what I see? Al-Qaeda Magnet. That's what they should call it. Al-Qaeda Magnet.
What is the projected cost of said Bend building?
Who knows? Who knows? What is the projected cost per square foot of real estate space in there? About $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Domino's.
The pizza people.
Yes.
What is Domino's doing? What is Domino's doing?
Not here in the United States, but Domino's in Europe is going to start using robots to start delivering pizzas. So Starship, it's called. It was launched in July 2014 by two former Skype co-founders. And Domino's picked up on this. They're going to start rolling it out in Germany and the Netherlands. And yeah, you're going to get your pizza delivered.
Who did you get that story from?
By robots. That was on Drudge yesterday.
Yes. Who did Drudge get it from?
I had to look. It was one of the, like, CNN technology or something.
Because that story is like 3 weeks old.
No, this was yesterday.
Yeah, no, CNN may have picked it up yesterday, but that story...
I'll look it up where it was coming from.
Yeah, because I read that story like 3 weeks ago, which is why I didn't... I've seen that one.
Are you thinking about the Domino's reindeers?
No. No.
Because that was a thing, too.
No, there was a drone delivery story in Europe two, 3 weeks ago, because I keep that stuff in the back of my mind, and I didn't connect it to today. There you go. Jay Cutler.
Well, he is a football player.
Yes, he is. He's the potential new quarterback for the New York Jets. They just keep getting worse.
There was some scandal with him, something about being naked.
Elaborate.
Was he naked with his wife? Because he's married to Kristen from The Hills of MTV fame. It was either on like Facebook, it was on a social media, Instagram.
All right, I'm going to give you half a point for sort of stumbling around and finding it. Jay Cutler's butt is on Instagram. Courtesy of his wife, Kristen Cavallari, who shot a from-behind full-figure nude of Mr. Cutler on the beach, I guess, or on the patio. I guess wherever they are, you can walk around naked, which is great. For quarterback, he's got a tight end.
But I'm pumped. The Instagram didn't take that down?
I don't think so, because it's just butt, and you can usually get away with butt.
Charlie Baker.
He's the governor of Massachusetts.
Yes.
He's done.
There's actually two stories, so I'll give you either one, both today.
Charlie Baker today. Heroin?
Elaborate.
There's the... Oh, God. They were giving money to somebody. Charlie Baker.
Give up?
Not yet. Not yet.
You're like right there.
Yeah, there were two things that Charlie Baker was talking about that he supported today. Was this the police outreach program for the schools to keep kids from using heroin?
There are new things that he's pushing forward, but specifically I was looking for a different one.
Okay. Tell me what the heroin one is.
Well, with regards to heroin, he is expected to be named President Trump's new formed commission addressing opiate epidemic. So, of course...
Well, he's in the right place.
Yeah, Charlie Baker has positioned his whole entire campaign and now his administration on combating the opioid crisis.
Boy, if you want heroin addicts, we got them in Massachusetts, let me tell you.
The commission is being led by New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So the commission is being created to study current practices and potentially recommended changing to federal funding. Baker's inclusion could not only boost his national profile, spotlighting tactics on addressing addiction and still the unfolding epidemic.
Yeah, we don't need Baker's profile boosted any more than it has been. But he does approach this from the background of the insurance industry, which may be helpful, except that he's going to come in and say, well, insurance shouldn't pay for it because that's the way they think. What was the other one?
He's rolling out more changes with Massachusetts. I think there was something about school, so you were kind of on it.
Yeah. It's. I heard his name. I heard a bunch of things. I wasn't paying attention to it. Leggings.
Ooh.
Yeah, ultimate softball for you here.
Yeah. Leggings or yoga pants. Some people were not allowed, two girls specifically. Basically, United Airlines had a huge PR issue. They didn't let two girls board a plane from Denver to Minneapolis because of what they were wearing.
Leggings.
Yes. Come to find out, they were using a buddy pass, which you don't pay for. When using said buddy pass, you need to adhere to the standards of United Airlines, which says you represent the company. These are the things that you can and cannot wear. So on this flight, there was a woman who had maybe 75,000 Twitter followers and posted. Instantly, it caught fire. And then you had Christy Teigen and multiple other stars going online and saying, shame on you, United, for not letting these two young girls on with pants. Who are you to regulate what you can wear?
They are a private company regulating the behavior of their employees.
What they failed.
That's who they are.
And it's the same thing. If, Derek, you gave me your tickets for your Patriots game, you would have your tickets taken away from you. Mm-hmm. If I became a drunken mess and started slapping everybody around or, you know, was crude or...
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
You represent your company. It's the same thing if I wear my uniform with my shirt on it and I go to the bar down the street in the seaport and start jumping on the table and shotgunning beers.
Noisy children on the internet fail once again.
Fake news.
Fake news, more fake online outrage. Shut up and get the facts. That's the best advice I could give anybody. Before you post, shut up and get the facts. Easy.
Big story. Internet service providers.
They're going to be able to sell your personal information to anybody they want without your consent. So says the Trump administration in repealing rules passed by the Obama administration that never actually did go into effect.
So that's, you know, thinking about what you have on your phone or internet service providers have Social Security. They have your whole browser history. So essentially they're saying they can take your browser history and sell it to the highest bidder.
Well, they can take more than that.
Well, of course. But for marketers or advertisers, that's...
You know who's going to get all of your data?
Emails.
Someone like me. I am going to have all your data. You know what the great thing is about an internet service provider? Let's say that you have Fios internet and you have Fios cable. I can see what you watch on television. I can see what you look at on the internet. I can see what you watch on Netflix. I can see what you watch on Hulu. I can see what you do on your PlayStation. I can see everything that's going back and forth about you. And I can tailor my advertising to meet your very specific needs, which is precisely what we do in my industry. Mm-hmm. We're all about this. And we're upfront about it. Do I necessarily approve of internet service providers doing this? No. No, I don't, because the difference between a private company like Amazon or Google or Yahoo or somebody else doing this is that I, as a consumer, can choose not to do business with that company. Okay, they are not necessary. In a lot of cases in this country, particularly if you live in an apartment building, you do not have a choice of internet service provider. You get whoever owns the building. And that's the way they set it up years ago. Buildings are wired by a certain company, and you have to use that wired service or you have no internet. That is an unreasonable
as a consumer
intrusion
puts you-
and an unreasonable mm-hmm. limitation on consumer choice. It's sort of like if the electric company said, we're going to collect data on all the appliances that you use, and we're going to sell it to somebody. and there's nothing you can do about it.
Because there's only one electric company.
Because you need electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this goes wrong. You know, these service providers are so big. There's only like a dozen of them in the country. There's some little tiny rural outlets that nobody... There's a dozen big players in the company, and there's really four companies that provide internet to everybody, for the most part. They are so big. They have so many customers, so much power, so much leverage in Washington that consumers can basically kiss any privacy protections that they thought they had goodbye.
Look at how many times have we talked about net neutrality and the issues with that and in trying to own the internet.
And I get it. They want to make money. This is the most valuable. They will make more money on the data than they will providing internet service to you.
It's true.
But you know what they won't do? They won't lower the cost of their service.
Hey, I'm going to drop your monthly bill down $10 because I'm actually selling all of your information, your emails, what you look at, what you watch.
You knock $75 a month off my bill. You can sell my data to anyone you want. Anyone you want. I don't care. I'll pay it. I will take that discount. This is your last one, right?
No, we have one more. We did four.
We have one more? All right, then you don't get this one yet. Eden.
Eden?
Eden.
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 I feel like it's a name of something.
It is. It's a big story.
Is this tech?
It's been blowing. No. It's a big story. It's been blowing out since late last week.
Eden. That's not the storm, was it?
No.
No. I don't know.
That's the Scottish reality show that sent a group of people to live in the Highlands. And did not tell them it was canceled after four episodes. Yeah. So after a year, roughing it in the Highlands, trying to survive, they started out with 23 people. Only 10 managed to stick it out to the end. They came back to discover that the show had been canceled.
But there were still people filming?
They were still filming. They were still going through the motions. And the producers maintain that they are going to do something with all of this footage. But it seems to me that if the show got canceled after four episodes...
You would pull production.
The kind thing to do would be to let everybody go home.
Yeah.
We haven't really heard anything specifically from any of the contestants. I would imagine because they have signed mountains of non-disclosure agreements.
Were they just drunk off of mountains of...
I have to imagine...
Peaty, delicious whiskey.
I have to imagine they're not happy about this. I have to imagine they're really not happy about this.
So weird.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, last one for you. Lego Batman.
Lego Batman. Did it just break a box office milestone? This then would be the most recent White House scandal.
Yes.
in which Stephen Mnuchin was asked... what movie he thinks people should go see. Now, we're just going to call him Munchausen. Stephen Munchausen is a film producer.
Yes.
He produced Suicide Squad, among other bad movies.
And he is now...
He produced Mad Max Fury Road. He's produced good movies.
Treasury Secretary.
He's a Treasury Secretary. And he was asked... what movie should people go see? And he gave this big lengthy disclaimer saying, I can't tell people what movie to go see, blah, 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 but go take your kids to see Lego Batman.
Yeah.
Which is a movie he had nothing to do with, and the Democrats are still trying to haul him in front of a freaking committee.
The quote is, I'm not allowed to promote anything that I'm involved in, so I just want to have legal disclosure. You asked me the question, and I'm not promoting any of my products. But you should send all your kids to go see Lego Batman.
That is a Warner Brothers film. He does have a relationship with Warner Brothers. I believe there are Russians involved in this somewhere.
Could be.
Unbelievable. Like,
just looking for something.
Go find something to do. Mm. Please, Democrats, go write some legislation. Go look for a Russian.
Steve Munchausen.
Apparently there's Russians running all over Washington, D.C. Go find some Russians. All right, last one for you. Crayola.
Crayola thinks that there are too many crayons in the box, so they are trying to eliminate one. And you had to vote which one to get rid of.
Well, they're not changing the number of crayons in the box. They're getting rid of one of the colors.
Yes. And there are way too many orange ones, different shades.
I am really...
I believe my best friend Kim nominated apricot to be taken out.
Now, see, I look at these things practically. And apricot... I
used to be a huge fan of Robin's egg blue.
I think that's blue-green now, isn't it? Or is it cerulean? Or I don't know what it is. The apricot actually has a reason to exist because it's sort of a more subtle kind of orange. Mm-hmm. Yellow orange and orange are the same freaking color. And I defy anybody to tell me what the difference is between them. You get rid of one of those. Okay. Gray. What? Who even uses that? All right. You give a kid a box of crayons. The one crayon that's going to be left in one piece after all the rest of the crayons have been used up is gray.
White.
No, white gets used. You get snow white. Or, you know, there's a lot
snow.
Of...
snow. But yeah. If you have white paper?
No, well, you can't use a white crayon on white paper very easily. But if you get dark paper, the white has its uses. Some other strong candidates that you could get rid of, dandelion, I think, could go.
It's an ugly color.
Because it's another like orangey, yellow kind of thing. I don't know that there is any difference at all between indigo and blue violet. At least that I can see.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
It's funny though how they have such simplistic colors like yellow, orange. But then they're like, oh, the top of the sunrise in the morning when it hits the shade. Like that's a color. Like what?
They are gonna replace it with a new. Now,
see, I remember when I was a kid, it was all about the massive collection. I believe it had 64 crayons.
Oh yeah, the 64 box.
And then you had the sharpener in the back.
Yeah, yeah, you had the 64 box that had flesh in it.
Flesh. That's right. That was color.
That was one of the colors back then. When I was a kid, you could get the fluorescent crayons because fluorescent was huge in the 70s and the 80s. So you could get the hot pink and you could get the chartreuse and you could get all these ridiculous colors.
Well, they started rolling out all the ones where it was like invisible and then you put like water on it, comes up and glitter and
yeah. I give them credit for being innovative, but get rid of one of those oranges, please, or gray. When gray could go. 855-915-9636 is the phone number. It is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She is Lisa Nichols. We are with you until 9 o'clock tonight when On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636. When we come back, automation, immigration, and the American worker, some very interesting things happening in wine country in California that tell us a lot about where the economy as a whole could be heading here on WMFO. Medford.
You can never hold back string. You can be sure I will never stop believing. Blushing rose, it will climb. Spring ahead, or fall behind. Winter dreams the same dream every time. Baby, you can never hold back spring. And baby, you can never hold back spring. Baby, you can never hold back spring.
What?
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, and we are The Big Picture, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9.
We are The Big Picture, that's right!
Now, so many times on the show we talk about President Trump and different policies that he's rolling out, but sometimes we don't really talk about how it affects the actual workers. Now, Trump's immigration policies, which he has been on the forefront of, could transform California's Central Valley. It's a stretch of lowlands that extends from Redding to Bakersfield. It's approximately 70% of all farmer workers living here in the United States illegally.
I just got the image of wine grapes growing in Bakersfield, and I'm like, oh God, no. I don't think they're growing the wine in Bakersfield, by the way.
Now, this is according to researchers at the University of California, Davis. The impact could reverberate through the valley's precarious economy, where agriculture is by far the largest industry. With 6.5 million people living in the valleys, the field in the state bring in $35 billion a year and provide more than the nation's food for other states. So not only are we talking about, everybody knows California's wine country, but California is a huge agricultural hub.
Avocados.
Yes.
Hope you like the avocados because they're growing them all in California.
Citrus.
Yep.
So on and so on. So
olives.
Many foods that we get in California.
Yep.
Now, we're also talking about an area where many people that own these farms feel vindicated because they did vote for President Trump and saying, yes, this is, I want to make America great again and follow all that. But if you listen to or just read some of the articles and conversations with these farmers, most of, like I said, whom voted for Trump, they're acknowledging that they don't know if their business is viable anymore and what needs to happen to adjust to the immigration policies that are now being rolled out from Washington, knowing that many illegals, and as I said, up to 70% of the people that are working in these farms are here in this country illegally, are now going to be gone or being pulled back. many of these farmers are left with nobody. And yes, the wages are going up. Some of the winemakers who are able to, you know, if you're producing $300 bottles of Cabernet Sauvignon from Napa Valley, you're able to go from the $11 mark to, in California, when it became $15, to now $16.50. But they're finding that not many people want the work, not many Americans.
Well, here's where all of this starts to get interesting. Outstanding piece of reportage in the Los Angeles Times, which I believe was published last, saying 6 days ago, so that'd be last
Thursday.
Yeah, so after we went off the air. It's called "For California Farmers, Trump's Immigration Crackdown is Worsening an Already Desperate Shortage of Workers." That is a nonsense headline, because that has nothing to do with what the story is talking about. The story actually, in some level, says the opposite. But what they did was they went to wine country, and they looked around to see what is going on. Because there are, as Lisa points out, 70% of the farm workers in California are illegal aliens. So credit to the Los Angeles Times for printing this line very early in the article. I don't know how this got past editorial. Quote, "The flow of labor began drying up when President Barack Obama tightened the border," end quote. So as soon as you see that, you know you're actually dealing with legitimate journalism and not another hit piece. So ignore the headline, read the article. They looked at Bureau of Labor Statistics data. Now, what's been happening in wine country is that the illegals have been forcibly removed in a lot of cases. This began under Barack Obama. It is continuing under Donald Trump. Wage production for farm workers in California rose 13% from 2010 to 2015. Regular wages for everybody else in California rose by 6%. So the farm workers are getting paid more because there are fewer of them. Why are they getting paid more? Because Americans don't want the work, because there is a labor shortage. So for farmers who have time-sensitive product, you can't just wait for a worker to show up for pruning, or you can't just wait for a worker to show up
to
harvest the grapes.
There are certain seasons. And,
this is highly dependent. The entire relationship is changing. The farms in Stockton and places where the grapes are less valuable are discovering that their businesses are no longer viable because they don't have an exploitable workforce and because the value of the grapes that they sell is going down. Meanwhile, in Napa, where the wine grapes are going for $6,000 a ton or $7,000 a ton in some cases, workers are now making... they've seen their wages go from $13 an hour to $20 an hour.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at a comparison between two areas, one being on average per year $30,000 compared to in Napa, where you can be making $41,000.
Right. So think about this for a second. You have workers that were making $13 an hour. They're now making $20 an hour. Some farms are giving benefits to keep workers.
These white-collar benefits, talking about 401ks,
health vacations. Health insurance, profit sharing, vacation time, sick days, subsidized English classes. And they're making $42,000 a year, roughly. In other parts of California, farm workers are making on average $30,000 a year. That is right at the poverty line in California. We think of the poverty line as the national figure. Usually when you hear about it, that's what people are talking about. And it's around $23,000 for a family of four. The Census Bureau has a separate poverty index that is adjusted according to the cost of living in each state. California has the highest cost of living in the country. California also, according to the Census Bureau, has the highest level of poverty in the United States of America at 20% of its population. One in five people in California living in poverty.
Staggering numbers.
Farm workers are a huge part of that group. But what's happening, as the labor market has dried up, farmers are having to pay more to get people in. And it is elevating these people out of poverty. Not only is it elevating them out of poverty, if you show up and you do a good job, you can get benefits. This is how the system is supposed to work. And we talked about this a few months ago, when Donald Trump first came in, and the question was, you know, what's he doing? Like, why does he want to throw out all the illegals? Because the illegals provided a continual, exploitable workforce.
Well, yes, and so many people, and mainly coming from the left, the biggest question was, how can we get rid of them? The first question after that is,
put them on a plane.
Well, yes, of course. But who's going to do the jobs? No Americans are going to do the jobs, clean the toilets, work the farms, and so on and so on. And you had made it very clear in how this is all going to change the whole arena of the workforce, because now these corporations or companies that were taking advantage of a workforce that didn't demand high wages, didn't demand these 401ks, healthcare, and so on, and could only pay them, you know, $8, $9, $10 an hour, now are being forced, because if they want to stay in this industry and stay in this business and make money, you are now going to have to pay for it.
Right. You can't exploit workers anymore, and you can't pay them a starvation wage. Okay. Nobody should be getting paid a starvation wage in this country. Nobody should be working full time and barely making it to the poverty level. Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable. That should be unacceptable to every American. So in California, where suddenly the illegals are gone and there's fewer people around, the people who are left are seeing their work conditions improve. Their labor is more valuable. And when I was growing up, and in the generations before me, that's the way it went in America. Once you stopped being able to hire children, once we ended that, real wages for skilled and unskilled workers increased whenever the labor pool decreased. And as long as Americans don't want to go pick grapes or tend to grape plants, the people who want to do it will be valuable workers.
We've talked about it.
They're not skilled in the same sense that a computer programmer is skilled, but they have a willingness to work and an ability to do that job well. And when you don't have this exploitable labor force around, they get paid.
We talked about it before on the show and discussing the hospitality industry here in Boston. And you're seeing it in many major cities around the country, that there is such a huge demand for especially people working in the kitchen, because wages are low because they're able to pay them. Now, restaurants are giving incentives to have you come work for them, whether it's shared tips from servers, whether it is paying off part of your student loans from your culinary school. It's the same exact thing, not in the sense of it is a segment that has been, as you put it, exploited, but there is a demand for it. When there is a serious demand in a very small pool, you're going to see improvements or incentives to work for them.
This is how it works. This is how the system is meant to work. Now, the other side of it is, we've got some farmers out there that are looking at automation. And they're looking at automation mainly as a way to deal with the labor shortage. They like the fact that it reduced costs, but you have to change the entire way that you farm in order to be able to use automation.
Which can completely change an industry.
You have to set your rows up in a certain way, and you have to grow your plants a certain way, and you have to have everything set up so that the machine can do what it does. Because the machine is dumb. The machine's just going to roll through and trim whatever it needs to trim. They got machines that will go out there and shake the trees to get the nuts off of them, and it captures the nuts, and then you get a couple people picking up the stray nuts. So it does reduce costs.
But you have to understand it also, there's a higher likelihood of losing profit. Because if you were talking about going through just a single machine in these rows in the vineyards and understanding how wine is produced, your more expensive wines have a smaller yield because they have more room to grow.
And that is where automation will fail.
Yes.
But what's happening right now due to the labor shortage...
If you have cheap wine, absolutely. Because if you're thinking about maybe 100 square...
$2 Chuck.
...miles of just rows of land, you're going to see double the amount of vines that are grown.
Yeah.
This is why you get more expensive wines, because the grapes have more room, the vines have more room to grow and become more concentrated.
And there are reasons why that's superior, but you got to get into the whole wine.
So for your
separate conversation, mm-hmm. You can talk the finer points of growing grapes.
No, but it's a good point to saying why Napa, because of how they grow their grapes,
right?
And they depend on lower yields but a higher quality.
Exactly.
Are now paying a workforce because they need to, if they want to continue making this product. Yes, in the other vineyards, where you have a cheaper wine, you can do that, so you can change to automation.
And what you're going to get to eventually is a point where, because when you have this endless supply of replaceable, exploitable workers, you can just treat people like crap, pay them nothing. There's always going to be somebody hungry coming along behind them to replace them. That is no longer the case in Napa, and that is no longer the case in wine country in California. So the vineyards now have to pay. If you're in Stockton and your grapes aren't worth anything, maybe you shouldn't be growing grapes, okay? Some farmers are going to look to automation, but let's be quite frank about it. There is no rule that says your business has to succeed on your terms, okay? If you're a farmer who got into grapes because there was a wine boom in California, and that wine boom has now passed, and your grapes are not worth as much as another crop, go ahead and grow the other crop.
Mm-hmm.
One of these farmers that they talked to said he was pulling out the vines and he was going to grow olive trees because the olives are worth more. That's a smart business decision that you make as a farmer, as a landowner.
Now, here's a question I pose to you, and it's not happening so much in California, but in other states, Washington being one, the WAFL, it's an organization that helps fruit growers in Washington find workers, specifically foreign workers, because they, to the government, they've proven that no Americans want to do the job.
This is the other interesting thing about this.
So this is what they're doing. They're going to countries in South America, and they're going to Mexico, and they're called guest workers. It's a special visa, and it's an F2A visa that lets them stay in the country temporarily, and they work. Generally, it's no more than 10 months, and then they're supposed to go back to their country.
Now,
California, even though being one of the biggest agricultural states, it's very rare because there are requirements for a company to do guest work. So you have to pay for transportation.
Here's
housing.
The problem. Stop it right there. Here's the problem, okay? All of that money that you're spending to get those rules passed and all of that money that you're spending to fly these people in and house them, mm-hmm. and all the rest of this means that you're doing something wrong. There are Americans who are able-bodied who should be able to do these jobs. The reason Americans don't do these jobs is because they don't pay. And the whole reason to set up a program like this is to create a new exploitable workforce. And this is where Washington, D.C. should say no. You go and you exhaust every possibility. This is the way Canada does mm-hmm. it. God help you if you try and get a job as an American in Canada. They'll let you live there. You can go live in Canada all you want. The second you take a dollar for work somewhere up in Canada, you're going to have five government officials knocking mm-hmm. on your door and throwing you out of the country.
That's why I think it's so crazy when you have the government pushing forward these F2A visas and almost like they're promoting taking workers from other countries, regardless of how long you're staying here. But the whole point to get rid of illegal immigrants is to boost
yes.
up the workforce again.
How much money?
How are you doing that by authorizing these visas?
How much money do we need to pay an American to go pick grapes? That's the question that needs to be asked. And whatever that answer is, that's what the answer is. No, oh, we're going to fly in some immigrants. We'll do it for half price. No, no. That is the kind of thinking that has ruined this country. The question should be, what do we have to pay to get Americans to pick grapes?
And that's exactly right. Because so many of these people in Washington have let this happen for so many years.
Yep.
This wouldn't be a problem if we had nipped it in the butt a couple of years ago.
It's because
it progressively got worse and worse and worse. And this is the situation that we are in now.
The companies that do this have big money and the ability to buy or at least rent the occasional senator in Washington or a representative in Washington.
Gotta love lobbying.
They're throwing money all over the states so that whatever state they're in, whatever community they're in, they're the biggest player in town. Nobody passes legislation without asking them first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Of course they want to bring in workers for $10 an hour and have a labor cost of $15 an hour because they don't want to pay an American $25 an hour. This is where the government needs to step in and say that doesn't fly anymore. If it costs $25 an hour to pick grapes, go pay somebody $25 an hour. And when you run out of Americans who are able to do that, then and when all of your grapes are sitting there dying on the tree, then we can talk about maybe bringing in some foreign workers.
Mm-hmm.
But you better prove, as you have to in Canada, that under no circumstances can you find an American who will do this. Can I tell you something? You pay people $30 an hour to pick grapes, you're going to have Americans coming out of the woodwork.
What is our unemployment rate at? How many hundreds of thousands of people are without jobs?
And yes, it is hard, difficult, brutal work, okay?
But this is what America was built on. America was built on not sitting at a comfortable desk and being on your computer all day. It's working your butt off.
The first day you do it, you're going to hate it and you're going to be in pain. The second day you do it, you're going to hate it and be in pain. The first week that you do it, you're going to hate it and be in pain. You're going to come back the second week and you're going to be like, oh, it doesn't hurt as much. And you're going to get used to it. And you're going to be making $30 an hour. You tell me someplace else where you can make $30 an hour, plus you're outdoors, plus you're getting exercise. There are a lot of wins here. All you have to do is pay the workers. And that's what's happening.
But they don't want to pay.
But the only reason all this change is happening in Napa is because the illegals are being driven out.
Mm-hmm.
And what is happening in Napa will happen nationwide if you get rid of the exploitable, replaceable, endless labor force. It is holding America back. I don't know why labor unions aren't advocating for this. I can understand why the teachers union isn't advocating for this. But it's like, where are the trade unions
mm-hmm.
who are saying, we need a stop to this? They should be on board. They should understand that a higher minimum wage means more money for everybody. All right? Real wages in the United States have not improved in 25 years.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when
the cost of everything's gone up.
The whole idea of raising the minimum wage first came up, and I had speculations about it and in kind of hesitancy. And when you explained it, and you can't look at it in the short term, you have to look at it in the long term. And how it's basically like a chain that affects each other. So you get rid of the labor union, it maybe raises prices a little bit. But in the long term, you have more Americans that have jobs. You have more Americans that have money to spend. Then in turn, helps the economy.
Go ask the farm worker in Napa Valley, who is no longer living in poverty, what he thinks about illegal immigration. And you're going to get a very different answer than you will from someone like Joe Curtatone. 855-915-9636. It is The Big Picture. It is WMFO on the Tell Mikey D coming up at 9 o'clock. When we come back, our favorite things from the past week and the strangest stories from the past week here on WMFO Medford.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dreams.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary, here with you every Wednesday, 7 to 6. And it's time for What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. If you were listening to Time Travel with Chris Earl, in between shows, we were just discussing a little thing called Hamilton. Chris Earl recently went to Chicago.
I hate him.
Got to see
it. I hate him so much.
Yeah, I really
want to know when we got tickets for New York. Face value. See it.
Well, Derek, you're going to have to wait a little while, but Hamilton is officially coming to Boston in 2018. So Broadway in Boston announced that the tour is cast and production of the hip-hop musical with Alexander Hamilton, Aaron Burr, and other founding fathers to perform a two-month run at the Boston Opera House from September 18th through November 18th, 2018. So you got over a year and a half to do it, but I believe it will be a very, very hot ticket. I don't know when they're going to be on sale.
I hate Hamilton.
Right now, it is in Chicago. They're going to be doing other stops. So maybe if you're doing some traveling in San Diego, Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles.
I want to know where Chris Earl is getting his freaking Hamilton tickets.
Yeah.
All right. I want to know. I can't get Hamilton tickets before 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Hate that show. Hey, if the idea of a connected house or a smart home appeals to you, but the price turns you off. Good news, kids. IKEA is going to be bringing smart home tech to the United States. They're going to have all kinds of lighting kits and bulbs. Everything from your IKEA shelving to the regular lighting in your house you can replace with these. And here's the great thing. It doesn't cost an arm and a leg. Their starter kit, which comes with two dimmable bulbs. They can also change to two different types of light. A remote control and a hub to control everything, $80.
It's not bad.
Okay, a Nest thermostat will cost you $200.
It's true.
Okay, $80. So you get the hub, you get the two bulbs, and you get the remote control, plus they're going to have an app available. And then you can expand from that. They're going to have a smaller dimmer kit available for just $20 with one dimmable bulb. And then if you get the $80 one, you can get additional bulbs. If you just want ones that dim, they're $12. If you want the ones that dim and have different moods, they're $25. Which isn't that, you know, when you consider what you'd pay for an LED bulb to begin with.
They're pretty expensive.
That's a good price. And these are light bulbs that will last for years. So IKEA is going to have this coming your way later this year. So
and you can get your Swedish meatballs.
No Amazon Echo integration yet. Maybe we'll get that soon. But a good, cheap way to get yourself into the whole smart home thing.
We end the show every week with That's the Thing That Happened, the craziest story from this week's news. Indonesia. A 25-year-old Indonesian man was swallowed whole by a python on the island of Sulawesi, villagers and news reports said. A six-minute video on the website of Tuban Timur publication shows villagers slicing open the python's carcass to reveal the legs and torso of the dead victim named Akbar. A secretary for the village in the province told Associated Press that the villagers began searching for Akbar on Monday night after realizing he hadn't returned from working on his palm oil crops the previous day. Junaidah said Wednesday that the search party found scattered palm oil fruit, a picking tool, and a boot, and then spotted an engorged 7-meter, and that's 23-foot-long, python. Quote, when its stomach was cut, we first saw the boot and leg near the neck. It seems like he was attacked from behind because we found a wound on his back, end quote. Pythons grab onto their prey with dozens of sharp curved teeth and then squeeze their victim to death, swallowing it whole. They are widespread in Indonesia and other parts of Southeast Asia. Reports of humans being killed by pythons are extremely rare. In the wild, they are known to eat monkeys, pigs, and other mammals. Unfortunately for Mr. Akbar, yeah.
Yeah, 23-foot pythons are rare, too. Don't need that one. Nova Scotia, Canada. In the 1990s, a man in Dartmouth had a vanity plate made for his father with the family's last name, Grabher, which is spelled like it sounds. He eventually inherited the plate, but the Nova Scotia Registry now wants to cancel it due to a single complaint. A letter from the registry told Grabher that people could see his last name and, quote, can misinterpret it as a socially unacceptable slogan, end quote. Grabher is fighting for the right to keep his name from being added to a list of 3,100 words that the Nova Scotia Registry will not allow on plates, which includes he, she, gonads, gringo, God for you too, 69 pre, hooch, hot foo, and doobie. I'm going to go ahead and assume ass man is also on that list for these Seinfeld fans out there. Hey, that is all the time we got this week. Next week, I believe we're going to have PJ Brown sitting in the
PJ
Leeson.
PJ Brown?
PJ Weston sitting in the, our old friend PJ Weston sitting in the Lisa Nichols chair.
Yes, I will not be here.
So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I know.
I will be here next week as always. And until then, stay safe, everybody.